Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors & More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:03 the time. Final hour for us today here on Sports 56 Mornings. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, where family and fun come together. Hour three of the program brought to you by Jenkins Floors & More, 6 East Commerce in Hernando, Mississippi. A short trip from anywhere in the metropolitan Memphis area. They also have stores in Little Rock and Cleveland, Mississippi. Family owned and operated. Timmy and Rebecca Jenkins started this business in their garage down in Cleveland, Mississippi, and it is thriving because they sell wholesale. They have great product and great service, and that's what you need. And I talked to Timmy yesterday, and he's really excited about all the Sports 56 listeners. So, again, if you're looking for new vinyls, SBC, WPC vinyls, scratch-resistant, waterproof for your flooring. If you're looking for carpeting, they have carpeting from Southern Luxury Carpet, Hardwoods by Portercraft, backsplashes for your kitchen and bathrooms. They got a huge warehouse in Hernando, and they have a 2-week turnaround. So you order, in 2 weeks, you will have the job completed. They'll come to you for a free estimate, show you different samples. Again, wherever you are, just give them a call. Again, it's family-owned and operated, 662-469-9350. They're open Monday through Saturday. Call them, set up a time for them to come visit you, and then see what they have to offer at Jenkins Floors and More. Time now to talk some golf with Mickey Barker.
It's time to hit the links and talk some golf. It's Mickey and Friends. Mickey Barker, administrator of golf for the Bluff City, joins Greg and Eli each week. Now here's Mickey Barker with Greg and Eli.
It is always great to talk golf. It's great to talk with Mickey Barker. We do it each and every week. The administrator of golf for the city of Memphis, the Hall of Fame golfer from Lipscomb University. You can follow Mickey on Twitter at MickeyBarker1. How are you?
Good morning, Greg. Eli, how are you guys?
Doing fantastic. We had a little bit of rain yesterday, but weather-wise so far as play is concerned, as far as Audubon and the construction over there is concerned, has it been good?
Everything's been great, especially this spring. It's been a little bit drier than normal, which is great. We can put the water down that we need to, but having the dryness for the construction of the parking lot there at Audubon has been going really well.
Yeah, I drove by there the other day. The course looks great, and I saw that they're moving along quickly on that.
They are moving quickly. We're very happy about that. The quicker they get done, the quicker we can actually park some people there and use the range and the short course.
People are taking to the course quite rapidly. I think always with the Masters starts the influx of people. Not that golf is slow during the winter months. As long as the weather is nice, they're going to go out and play. But it seems now that it's made a couple of calls about trying to get on. It was packed at Galloway, couldn't get on the one day. And that's great news for you guys. But again, for folks that want to set up a tee time for any of these great city golf courses, how do they go about doing that?
The easiest way is our website, memphispubliclinks.com. We also do have an app for Apple users. It's in the App Store, Memphis Public Links. That's a great way. You can just make your tee time right there. You can pay for it right there, whatever you choose to do, but it makes it pretty easy.
All right, so this was interesting. You sent me this note, and I had no idea. There are some of the courses that you offer free play for kids. Give us all the details. I want parents out there to listen to this for their kids or budding golfers, or maybe right now are playing the game of golf and they can get an opportunity to play for free.
Yeah, we've had this program going since 2015. Kids don't pay a greens fee at our golf courses. Now there are some limitations, like at Galloway, and then when Audubon opens, that will only be on the weekend afternoons. They'll be able to play their greens fee will be free as long as they play with an adult on the weekends at Galloway and Audubon. All of our other golf courses, for the most part, there are no greens fees for kids. If you're under the age of 18, you can play for free. You can go out there and you can walk 36 holes a day, no charge whatsoever.
Now, is that for just residents of the area? How about if you got grandchildren that come in from the East Coast and they're here for a couple of days, you can bring them over and they can play for free?
Absolutely. Bring them right on out. There's no charge for them. Really breaks that barrier of cost down for learning to play the game.
that's awesome. I mean, that's obviously great to get kids that opportunity and to, they said, be able to go out there and play 36 holes or whatever. That's a great thing for kids.
It really is. Back in 2015, after I first started with an administrator role, Ben Crane had just won the FedEx, and he was on the next year, he was on the radio talking about things in golf and how golf. He said, we really need to break the barrier of cost down. And so I went to my boss at the time, the deputy director, and said, what do you think about this, offering free greens fees? And so we took it to city council and the administration, and they said, great, let's do it. It has not affected our revenue. It has not affected the ability for other people to get on and play. It has just been positive for us.
When it comes to prices, what are the decisions behind things when you have to go up a little bit on a greens fee or maybe for a cart? Give me a little bit of the background of the decision-making when that happens. It doesn't happen often, but when it happens.
Right, and we did just have a price increase this winter. We look at what our budget is for the year, and we do recover, through greens fees and other fees that we charge, cart fees, we recover some of our costs. A lot of city entities, they don't have any revenue, so it's all expenses. We do recover some, and so we look at our budget. We try to only have to be subsidized by the city's budget by a certain amount. And when we start going over that, then we have to increase prices or increase our rounds. Our rounds are almost to capacity in many locations, so we did have to increase our prices because of the cost of everything else. Equipment, yeah. Turf, turf equipment, cart feet, what we have to pay for our carts, the chemicals, fertilizers, things like that. Those prices go up just like groceries do. It costs us more to operate.
I would imagine you've seen the costs of everything across the board go up since COVID, right?
Absolutely. Tremendously.
Well, with Mickey, each and every week, he likes to bring on a friend. Not every single week, but most of the time, and thus the Mickey Barker and Friends segment. And this week, we are very pleased to be joined by the West Tennessee Regional Director of the Tennessee Golf Association. But he's also the Executive Director of First Tee here in Memphis. He's Andy Mears, who joins us now on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines. First of all, Andy, thank you for joining us.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me.
So you're wearing a few different hats here, so and I know they're intertwined, but for those who don't know, first of all, tell us a little bit about the West Tennessee Regional Director position, and then we'll get into the first tee.
Yeah, so I work for the Tennessee Golf Foundation, and the Tennessee Golf Foundation is really the center point for junior golf in the state of Tennessee. The foundation operates all of First Tee Tennessee, so we have five regions, and they're all covered by the foundation, all five First Tee regions. And I was hired last August to come in. I've spent 9 years with the First Tee. I was in Chicago for four and Sarasota, Florida for four and a half, and now here for almost a year. And so glad to be here and working for the foundation, which does so much for junior golf.
And this is important because I have talked to a lot of people here recently that really didn't realize that the First Tee was back here in Memphis. It went away for a while, but it is back. And if you can tell everybody just again what First Tee does.
Yes. So, yes, it is back. I've been back for just a few years under the umbrella of the Tennessee Golf Foundation. And the First Tee is really a youth development organization. So we are teaching kids life skills at the same time that we're helping them learn a game for a lifetime. So it's a pretty cool combination. A lot of sports, you have the travel leagues and, baseball, softball, soccer, all of that. What First Tee did way back in 1997 was develop golf with youth development. So it was the first organization to do that. And well, we help kids with everything from peer pressures to helping them with STEM, with financial literacy, to helping them with college prep, and also then helping them with their golf games. So we cover a lot of bases.
Andy, it's really good to have you here in Memphis, and I know over the last year you and I have worked together on a lot of different things. What excites you most about what's coming up in the near future?
Well, number one, what excites me most about being here is and I'll just flat out tell you guys that having Mickey Barker and the city of Memphis support the first tee like they do is just amazing. So what I do is there's one word that's come down to for me over these months, and it's opportunity. There is such a great opportunity for the first tee to really plant its flag for junior golf here in the city, helping, you know, a tremendous amount of youth organizations and individual kids. So I am out right now. I've been spending the last several months just out knocking on doors, letting people know who we are, what we are, and how we can help. And it's exciting because people, as you just said, don't know. If they know anything about first tee, they know it was here and then gone. But a lot of people don't know it's back, and it has been back for a few years. And now we have a new three-year game plan set that we believe is going to take us to a brand new level in Memphis for kids.
This is a program and one of the programs that can get the word out. That's the most important thing, is to get that word out, as you just talked about. But for those that are listening, those that want to get their kids involved in First Tee, how do they do that, number one? Number two, are we talking about programs that they pay for? Is it free? And just the particulars, Andy, that they need to know.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Number one, yes, there are fees for programming, but we never say no. So if somebody cannot afford the fees that are posted, all they have to do is apply for the scholarship, and they get it. No questions asked. If they need equipment, we have equipment. We're very fortunate to have many, many people donate their used equipment to us and then recycle those back to the kids. So there's no barriers. First Tee does not have any barriers. Where they can find all of our programming is they can go to firstteememphis.org, firstteememphis.org, and they can click on the program schedule, and then they can click on register for a program, and they'll see everything there that is in the Memphis area. And we cover, you know, some of the suburb areas as well. But we have programs going. We're just about a week away from launching our Summer 1 program, which is our classes and our camps. And then we'll have Summer 2 programming, which is July and August. And then we go right into the fall. And then new for First Tee here in Memphis, we will have a winter program as well. First Tee has traditionally been a little dormant during the winter here, and that will no longer happen. We'll have activities going. Even if they aren't specifically golf-related, we will be doing activities with kids to keep them involved with First Tee.
How many kids are in the program right now?
Right now, well, I'll give you last year's numbers because we just finished our spring season. Last year, we reached about 400 kids in the Memphis area. And we have, again, that word opportunity. We have so much opportunity to grow. We're hiring new coaches. We're expanding our program opportunities. So there's a lot of things happening that I hope to take our numbers, you know, many times fold what we've been working with.
And what age can get involved?
Yeah, so we start as early as four. So 4, 5, and 6-year-olds are called our little Linksters, and we do a lot of fun games with them. And then 7 to 12 is sort of the heart of First Tee, and that's where we really get the kids involved in the First Tee process and everything. And then we have a separate teen program as well, 13 to 17 years old, and we want to keep that teen retention in the game of golf, because like a lot of sports, there's a drop off. When kids reach their teen years, they drop out of sports. They go on to other things. So we have a whole retention program to keep those young people involved in the game of golf, and again, for a lifetime.
Andy, I know one thing that you and I both are excited about is the new camp that we're going to have at the new Pine Hill that has been renovated and recently opened. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're also going to reach out to some of the community centers for their camps to come over and join you.
Yes, absolutely. And as Mickey knows, we're already set up a program with the city of Memphis. We're going to be hosting 14 to 16-year-olds out at Links Whitehaven this summer on Fridays for 7 weeks to introduce them to the game of golf. So these are the relationships that I'm hoping to build and continue to build, so we have these great partnerships. And again, then that helps spread the word about the work we're doing here to help kids.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about why the last go around, it ended up ultimately failing in the end. For a while there, I had no idea that it had, because I remember all the great days, the clinics, Lauren Roberts' involvement, and I thought everything was going fine, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't here. My question is, how did it get resurrected? Who asked who? How did, and then how did you initially get contacted, Andy? How did it get involved to get it? Because that's the most important thing, that it's back.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So what happened is after the original first tee here went out of business, lost their charter, the Tennessee Golf Foundation had already been operating the other four regions of Tennessee under the Tennessee First Tee. And then they came in and sat down with the folks who had been running the First Tee here and said, listen, we do not want First Tee to fail in Memphis. It's an important region. So the foundation stepped up and is funding the First Tee here as we get it booted back up. So what they were doing, they had two really good gals come through as their directors. But unfortunately, they got kind of stolen away. Callaway took one of them, and she went out to Carlsbad, and another one moved to Boston. And last spring, so a year ago, a good friend of mine who is the employment director for the PGA for Kentucky and Tennessee got a hold of me and said, listen, this is what's happening. They're looking for a new director out there. I think this is perfect for you, given my experience in golf and First Tee and everything. And so I sent my resume to the foundation, and a few months later, August 1st, I began. And my goal coming in was to observe what was going on, to listen to the stories, you know, history. Knowing a little history is always good. And then to begin to look out the windshield, because I'm very much a windshield guy. I don't like looking at rearview mirror too much. So I created a three-year plan for the Memphis region, said to the foundation, listen, in a sense, you be my venture capitalist. I'm going to be the business, and we are going to make this thing, you know, as great as it's ever been. And along the way, I'll raise the money to help pay back the investment that the foundation has put into here. And so off we went. March 1st, we started our first spring programming. We're just about ready to finish up our spring programming, and then we'll launch summer.
And so Andy is not just the overall guy. He's out there with the kids. He's teaching. He's having games with the kids. And then he's also at the board meetings talking
hands
to
on.
All. He's very much hands-on. He's fantastic, doing a fantastic job.
Well, thank you. And I love every minute of it. And my fiance and I, we love the area. Fortunately, my oldest son is just an hour down the road in Oxford. He teaches at Old Miss, and his wife down there, my granddaughter, so that's a benefit. And
sure is.
And we're not too far away from our home territories of Chicago and Michigan, where the rest of our families are. So,
you mentioned, you know, hiring the coach. Obviously, when you got 400 kids, you got to have adults to supervise. If somebody wants to get involved on that side of things, how can they go about doing that?
Absolutely. I would love for them to send me an email directly. So my email is very simple. It's A. Mears, M-E-A-R-S, at tngolf.org. And email me directly, and we will be back, you know, in touch right away. And we're looking for caring adults who love to work with kids and enjoy the game of golf. And you don't need to be a professional. Anybody who loves kids and loves golf and wants to work with the First Tee, we're looking to work with you as well.
Andy, great stuff. Again, welcome to Memphis, and whatever we can do for you, you let us know. We really appreciate it. Thanks for joining us, too.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you, Andy. Andy Mears, he's the First Tee director here. So, Mickey, is it technically the First Tee of Tennessee Memphis chapter? Is that what it is?
That's correct, yes. First Tee Tennessee/Memphis.
All right, before we let you go, on the tour, they had the tag team competition at the Zurich.
Right.
And it couldn't have worked out any better for them that Rory decides he wants to play in it. He's with his buddy Shane Lowry, and they win it. You talk about good PR for a tournament, because the guys, they, with all due respect, these are all great players, but the two guys they were battling in the playoff, nobody's ever heard of, to be honest with you. So
yeah,
this was huge.
Could not have been better for the Zurich people. They have to be ecstatic. I know that Rory and Shane went out to dinner one night, and when they left the restaurant, they got a standing ovation there in New Orleans. So wow. It was really big time.
Well, Mickey, great stuff as always. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds great. See you guys.
That is Mickey Barker. He is the golf administrator for the city of Memphis. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at MickeyBarker1. Catch him every week at this time slot talking golf with us over the summer.
You need a tough, reliable tractor to tackle those tough chores? Well, go see the folks at Mid-South Ag Equipment and check out the Case IH Farmall series of tractors, plus the Bush Hog equipment and everything else they have on the lot for you at Mid-South Ag Equipment. You can also go online, midsouthag.com, check out inventory, see what they've got, see any special deals that they've got going on. They've got new equipment. They've got pre-owned equipment as well. They can service your current equipment. They do it all for you at Mid-South Ag Equipment. Located just south of Collierville on Goodman Road. If you take I-269 to the Goodman Road exit, they're just a half mile west, so it's very easy to find them in person at Mid-South Ag Equipment, and also, again, very easy to find them online at MidSouthAg.com. They are Mid-South Ag Equipment.
All right, when we come back, more on that, the massive NIL class action suit that could lead to revenue sharing in collegiate sports. Some interesting things that some others had to say. We touched on it earlier. We'll continue to do that when we return. Plus your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines, 901-360-8255. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Be sure to follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on. Follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:29 the time. The final half hour and change here on this Tuesday edition of Sports 56 Mornings. So we started to talk about this a little bit earlier in the show about the NIL antitrust lawsuit, and then the meetings that they had, and it looks like they're going down the road to revenue sharing. I'm going to read this directly from Pro Football Talk. This is Mike Florio. He says, the NCAA has a problem, and it's trying to solve it. The leaders of college sports are in deep discussions, we talked about this Pete Thamel reporting, to resolve a massive NIL antitrust lawsuit. The case, which attacks any and all restrictions on the ability of athletes to earn money for their name, image, and likeness, is set to go to trial in January of 2025. Recent gathering of key figures for college football at the playoff meetings that was last week reportedly sparked an effort to discuss a way out of the multi-billion dollar maze in which college sports find themselves. The class action has two key pieces. There's an effort to recover financial compensation for past violations, and there's a request for a court order preventing the NCAA and the member schools from applying restrictions in the future. The going forward aspect of the case could leverage some sort of revenue sharing for players. Something needs to happen. The NCAA is and has been in checkmate. The only thing left to determine is when and how the NCAA will make things right for what has happened in the past and for what needs to happen in the future. It won't be easy. Ultimately, a super league might be the only way to address all issues in a satisfactory way. Regardless, this is the reckoning the NCAA has deserved for decades. The schools hiding under their convenient four-letter umbrella have exploited athletes, getting more from them than the players ever get. If the solution is messy or ugly or clunky or expensive, it will be that. It's not the fault of those who were victimized by a system that has made billions in exchange for the actual, not marked up like jewelry cost of giving players a college education, regardless of whether they want one. Interesting. And then with UAB, with this announcement that they have joined the Players Association, led by their coach, friend of the show, Trent Dilfer. Dilfer said he gathered his team for a voluntary meeting in mid-April to encourage them to prepare for a future where college athletes might be able to negotiate for a larger share of the sports revenue.
The this lawsuit that they are looking to settle, if they were to go to court and lose it, they could be liable for up to $4 billion. $4 billion will motivate you to settle.
Oh, yeah. $4 billion from the past, right? Because
that's the combination.
They're not going to guesstimate the future earnings.
Yeah, I mean, that, yeah, that, that, mainly the past, yes, right. But that it also would set up the future. Because there's two different sets of plaintiffs. There's past plaintiffs and there's okay. the current future stuff to go. But
gotcha.
But yeah, it's there's a lot of money on the line, obviously. So the NCAA is very motivated to settle this and not take the chance. Their track record in court is really bad. So I don't think they want to go lose another one that could cost them that type of money. So they would love to settle this in some way that they could figure out a way to pay, I guess, the past people, take care of the future, all of that stuff. But it's I think the NCAA lawyers have learned going to court, not really good for the NCAA.
You know, it's interesting with the retro stuff, right? We have the whole Reggie Bush, give him back his Heisman. You and I were both in agreement that they never should have taken the Heisman away. But when he did break the NCAA rules, it was, again, breaking the NCAA rules. Now, it's a whole different world that we live in where players are paid. So they gave it back. This is retribution to these players in the past who weren't able to earn their money and are part of this antitrust lawsuit. So they expect to be paid. We've heard stories about the government paying for tuition for students. Well, let's make that retro as well. I want my money back for all the money I paid over those years to attend the University of Maryland. That's what I want back. So maybe we'll get to that where we need an antitrust lawsuit for all those who've gotten degrees before, you know, 2020. And so see if we can get our money back. But in reality here, if you have revenue sharing, a percentage of what is brought in by the school through their, I guess, everything, right? Television contracts, everything they bring in, a certain percentage will go to the athletes. Plus NIL on top of that in a different form. So the future for student athletes, you think it's like good now or better now? Wait till the future if there's revenue sharing. It's going to be across the board for all athletes. And right now NIL is available for all athletes, but not all athletes get it. Revenue sharing will throw a lot more in the coffers of the players, the student athletes themselves, to be able to distribute. Now, do you think we'll ever get to a point where there will be a salary cap where you can only go so much?
Well, the talk and in this story, the idea as they discuss this again, the thought is that they will set a number that is what it's going to be. They bring up in here that it's in the neighborhood of $20 million annually for the top end share, like per school.
Okay.
Again, this would all be part of the settlement. Like they would set this number of this is what it's going to be. And the individual schools then could opt in to share revenue up to that number. At their discretion, they could choose to share less, but they can't share more than that.
Okay, but then there's also regular NIL. So let's say $20 million across the board goes into paying the student athletes at Ohio State as it does at Memphis. And then again, like you said, the school's decision, their discretion on what they can do. But then there's the additional NIL. And then let's say Ohio State brings in an additional $25 million for that. And they're up $45 million while others are at 20 or less. So I'm wondering if there'll ever be a cap on total amount of revenue that they can use through NIL or through this revenue sharing to pay student athletes. Or is that going to be against the law? When the dust is settled, would there be lawsuits that you can't?
Well, that's really part of this lawsuit.
Yeah,
you cannot limit. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
There, you cannot limit in any way what they can make off their name, image, and likeness.
But in professional sports, you have salary caps. You can only spend so much. Now, of course, in the NBA, you can spend and go into the tax, and imagine that's other leagues as well, right? So you can do that, but there is a cap of how much you can pay. your athletes, your players. So this is just mind-boggling that only several years ago.
But there is no, but in the
we weren't going down this avenue.
But in those professional sports, again, it's a completely different animal anyway, but in those professional sports, there is no cap whatsoever on what that player could earn on his own in marketing deals.
That's true. That's true.
This is market. This is NIL. They can make as much money as they want off their name, image, and likeness at any level. So that's what they're saying. Like, you can't limit in any way what I could make off me.
Absolutely. That's why it's pivotal for schools in the position Memphis is in to have FedEx, to have a company or companies that are willing to do the things that the FedEx just did with that deal with Memphis, to be able to help these schools, whatever school it may be around the country, to be able to hang in there with name, image, and likeness while they don't bring in the revenue that other schools do through their media contracts or whatever other streams of revenue there is.
And the lawyer that is involved in from the plaintiff side in the case that they're trying to solve, he has another one going against the NCAA that is about the NCAA should not be able to keep schools from paying players directly for their performance. So they're
incentive-based, you're talking about now?
The NCAA is going to, again, the NCAA doesn't want to go to court because they know what happens when they go to court, they lose.
Right.
So while they won't necessarily be settled, they say they won't necessarily be settled together, the NCAA would like to come up with a system that takes care of all of this so that they don't have to end up right back in court for something else. The NCAA, again, very motivated here to try and get all of this taken care of, settle all of these lawsuits so that they don't have to deal with any more of them, and hopefully come up with a system that works for everybody, that they're not filing any new ones in the very near future.
10 years from now, will we have the NCAA as we know it, or will there be a completely separate run organization that runs just college football with a super league? 10 years from now, what's it going to look like?
I mean, I don't know. I have no idea what the legalities of it all and what kind of org. Like, I don't. The NCAA certainly, I don't think it won't be what it is now. Could there be something called the NCAA?
Right.
Yeah, it is in no way, I don't think, will be what
with
it is now.
Different powers and
I still believe that college football is going to be the Big Ten and SEC by themselves.
Well, that could be your super conference. It could be just composed of two. But the NCAA already lacks power when it comes to college football, with the college football playoff running the show. But they're still the governing body of collegiate sports. So what they are now is a shell of what they used to be, and I think they will even be more of a shell as they move forward. I wanted to touch on this. This is funny. Dave and Buster's to allow customers to bet on arcade games. Dave and Buster's will begin offering loyalty members the ability to bet on its games. Adults age 18 and older will be able to place real money wagers on arcade games with friends. The technology is expected to be available in the coming months. Arcade giant Dave & Buster's is taking its games to a new level by offering social wagering on its app. Customers can soon make a friendly $5 wager on a Hot Shots basketball game, a bet on a skee-ball competition, or on another arcade game. The betting function, expected to launch in the next few months, will work through the company's app. They have 222 venues in North America, including one in Memphis. That's not going to cause any problems, is it? Little bit of drinking, little bit of competition, just lost some money. Boom! Fisticuffs. They ain't going to like that. They don't like, people don't like losing regular competition, let alone if there's money on the line, even if it's $5 or $10.
If I'm playing something in a video game and I want to bet them on it, I can do it without.
I know, but this is, again, through their technology, like legally betting through the app or whatever it is, betting the dude, you just hammered down like four cold ones, you just lost to the dude and pop a shot or whatever it is, and he clocks you. And there you got a little melee among the little kids that are running around. I don't know about this thing. Gambling's a whole different world that we live in now, right, with legalized gambling, but man, oh man, I'm not so sure about that. I am sure, though, that you're going to have a great time if you head down to Smoke Slam. The world's ultimate barbecue showdown is coming May 16th through the 18th to Tom Lee Park. on the river in downtown Memphis. They're putting the festival back in barbecue. More than 50 teams competing for the largest cash purse in barbecue history. Live music from the likes of Tone Loke, the funky Cold Medina, Rob Bass, Young MC, DJ M, Walk, War. How about War and all their great songs? The Barquets with the connections to Memphis, obviously. St. Paul and the Broken Bones, just to name a few. A fan-first experience like no other. They'll have celebrity chef live cooking demos. You can indulge in mouthwatering barbecue samples from the greatest pitmasters in the country. Fireworks every night, a carnival atmosphere with a Ferris wheel, carousel, games for the kids. Single day, general admission ticket, just $25. If you want to go all 3 days, get the general admission pass for only $65. Go to smokeslam.com for more details and for your tickets. May 16th through the 18th in beautiful Tom Lee Park on the river in downtown Memphis, it's Smokeslam. We'll take a quick timeout, come back with our final segment. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
We are Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by Jenkins Floors and More. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Oklahoma State transfer center Brandon Garrison, a McDonald's All-American, has committed to Kentucky. So Mark Pope starting to accumulate some players. It's interesting, Matt Norlander says Garrison picked Kentucky over Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Texas, and he never even stepped foot on campus, but has committed, and that makes the news of Musa Cisse. There was a story earlier that we talked about that he's coming back to Oklahoma State. That makes it more believable as they lose a big man that Cisse would go there. What's not believable to me is that Musa Cisse, that Memphis would still entertain him on a visit if he's already committed to Oklahoma State, but stranger things have happened.
I'm still confused on Musa's.
His journey?
Yes.
He likes...
It's like a boomerang.
Yeah. He likes Stillwater. He likes Memphis.
But why did he leave Stillwater in the first place?
He likes Oxford.
Or why did he leave Memphis in the first place?
I have no idea. I don't know what goes through the mind of these young men and women that go to five different schools in 3 or 4 years. It's just, it's crazy. But we live in a different time now. We live in a different time. They can do that. They can boomerang like that. From the world of boxing.
Maybe he can go to Stillwater. Maybe he can go to Oklahoma State and then find another year of eligibility and then finish at Memphis. And it could just truly do the complete rebound.
Or he could be like that receiver that transferred to UCLA. And then he posted on his social media and said, y'all, I'm tripping. I'm coming back. And came back to USC.
I'm tripping.
Man, it is a confusing world out there trying to figure out what they're doing.
How about at coaches? I mean, they obviously need player personnel people anymore at the collegiate level, especially for football, but even for basketball to kind of manage like who's coming, who's going, what's available out there. So I wanted to mention this boxing story. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, they're going to fight. And I know people, when it was first announced, are like, really? Okay. Mike Tyson has been training hard. He's going to kill Jake Paul, by the way. It's July 20th, but it has been sanctioned. It is a sanctioned professional fight by the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulations. So it's an official, it's not some charity thing. It's an official boxing match sanctioned by the state of Texas. Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, July 20th. Buy your pay-per-view today.
Got UFC this weekend.
UFC almost every weekend. There's always an event.
Was that like true UFC though?
I know.
301, I believe.
Yep.
Something like that.
Are you into it now?
I watch Abdul Roy.
After you watch that knockout with 1 second to go in the fifth and final round.
That was awesome. That was one of the best things I've seen. I've probably watched out of the last probably 10 or so, I've probably watched 8 or 9 of them, and that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen with him challenging that dude. Just come on out, let's do it, and then to follow through and knock the dude out with 1 second to go. That's about as cool as it gets.
Well, I'm proud of you, and the more and more you keep watching, now I'm going to get back to getting some guests, some MMA guests on the program. I miss it. It's one of the
things. I didn't say we wanted to do that. I said it's entertaining to watch.
It's one of the things I miss. I haven't called a match in several years, but man, I miss doing that. Hopefully, I'll get another opportunity. I did boxing for years and years, and then MMA. Just there's nothing like it. I mean, there's really nothing like it. Two guys, two women out there, just beating the crap out of each other.
Over the weekend, it came out that the Players Association in Major League Baseball sent out a memo to the players about the uniforms.
Oh yeah,
which have been a big issue, and they are going to get corrected. Man, oh man, they went in on Nike. The memo, part of the memo read, "This has been entirely a Nike issue. At its core, what has happened here is that Nike was innovating something that didn't need to be innovated." Because a lot of people have blamed Fanatics, who is the manufacturer of them, of these uniforms. But the Players Association is putting the blame solely on Nike. They also said, in talking about Fanatics, saying they recognize the vital importance of soliciting player feedback, obtaining player buy-in, and not being afraid to have difficult conversations about jerseys or trading cards. Our hope is that moving forward, Nike will take a similar approach.
Well, the league had to sign off on it, right? The league had to sign off on using these uniforms.
They have the deal with Nike, and Nike makes the uniforms. And Nike went to this new uniform, which the players have complained about from day one.
From day one.
And Nike has not been willing to correct it.
Okay, well, then there you go. Therefore, you have to call out Nike. But what I'm saying is they have a deal with Nike. Nike experiments. They start the season as they did, and they're realizing that these don't work. They're not right. And that's when Major League Baseball has to step up and say, no, you have to produce new uniforms for us. So obviously it seems like that conversation took place and they were reluctant to do so. So that's a problem. So this is when you call in George Costanza, because he'll get you that cotton feel. He'll make it more breathable for these uniforms, for these players to hit better, like Danny Tartable.
They also said, we caution Nike against various changes when they previewed them in 2022, particularly regarding pants. Major League Baseball had been and has been aware of our concerns as well. Unfortunately, until recently, Nike's position has essentially boiled down to nothing to see here. Players will need to adjust.
Wow. How about that? Good for them.
They are just like...
Got to call out the big boys, because you're a big boy.
Nike just taking one on the chin here, like... but the thing is, obviously it's not easy to correct all of these, but they say they'll be fixed by opening day of next season at the latest.
Really? Wow. Takes that long, huh?
That's a lot of uniforms. The thing is, too, Nike screwed up college uniforms this year, too. They were late getting the colleges their uniforms for baseball this year. I don't know what the hell's going on at Nike. Nike got some issues going on there. I don't know. They got to figure some things out over at Nike, especially when it comes to baseball. They got some issues with baseball.
Don't mess with anything that's working. Don't try experimental stuff, especially in clothing.
Was it this year, this past college basketball football season, where like a team didn't have their jerseys, and they played with their practice uniforms or whatever?
I think I remember something like that.
But that was a couple seasons ago.
I don't know.
But again, I don't know if that
I don't
was...
like baseball teams around college baseball did not get their new uniforms for this year at
right.
time. Like they were late.
Right. I remember that.
A lot of teams.
Yeah, I think something.
Like when I was in Hawaii with Ole Miss had to wear last year's stuff. They had not gotten their new stuff for this year.
I think something happened with East Carolina this past weekend, who were in town to play Memphis. I think something, I heard something from somebody with the Pirates that something happened with that as well.
Mother's Day is almost here, and the folks at Genesis Diamonds, they're ready. And if you're ready for getting to get mom something special for Mother's Day this year, Genesis Diamonds would be the place to go. Whether it's a new mom with her first Mother's Day or your mom's 60th Mother's Day, she's going to appreciate something thoughtful and timeless from Genesis. And the good thing is you don't have to break the bank. They've got stuff for every budget over at Genesis Diamond. They could put together a fantastic collection of sentimental gifts, and that they've got things that she can wear all of the time. Necklaces, gemstone bracelets, rings, pearls, eternity bands, diamond pendants, whatever it is. Some of their exclusive designers have come up with even more great stuff at their great prices. So stop in, check out the great selection of great gift ideas for Mother's Day at Genesis Diamonds, Poplar and Perkins Extended. Their great staff over there, not working on commission, will help you pick out that perfect item to make mom very happy this Mother's Day. Genesis Diamonds, Poplar and Perkins Extended.
All right, that'll wrap it up for us on this Tuesday edition of Sports 56 Mornings. Thanks to Sean Devaney, Jeff Crane, Mickey Barker, and Andy Mears from the First Tee here in Memphis for joining us on the program. We're back tomorrow. We started off each and every morning at 7 a.m., so all you early risers, join us. We'll talk with DeMichael Cole on the Grizzlies, on the NBA. Steve Macy will join us from the Showboats, and you never know who else may join us on the program tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. Also, stay tuned for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. It's coming up next, minus Dave Woloshin, Brian Dacus, and Zach Boyd pinch hitting for Wolo once again. So for Eli and Zach, I'm Greg. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.